Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Had a good Tuesday, everybody. It is DiPietro, Canty, Rothenberg with you right here on 98.7 ESPN. Chris, just to show you how confused I am, even more so than usual, as we were listening to the opening of the show right there, I thought there was a pretty good chance it was going to go, hey, it's Friday, because I have really absolutely no idea what day of the week it is.
Come on, Dave. You know we were just back off of the weekend yesterday.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know it's Tuesday.
I did. I felt like I knew that, and then when I heard the open, I was like, wait, is it going to do the hey, it's Friday? I was like, no, it's probably not. It could be Friday. I was not 100% sure, but I am 100% sure now that it is, in fact, Tuesday, 9 days away from the NFL draft, which honestly I cannot wait for more so than usual.
Well, that's all that really matters, right, Dave? I mean, we're in the season of hope right now. And I know it's a lot of things going on. We're dealing with this pandemic. There's been a lot of negative news, but the one thing that we can be optimistic about in the sports world is that we do have the NFL draft in a little over a week left. We got Mel Kiper's new mock draft fresh off the presses today. Joe Judge, we're supposed to hear from, I believe it is tomorrow, and then Dave Gettleman on Friday. So there's a lot going on in the world of football, and it's huge implications for the local teams.
It sure is. And good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. And I couldn't agree with you more, so I came up with something. You might like this. So instead of TGIF, thank God it's Friday, since every day feels like Friday and there really is no weekend, I'm going to go with this. I'm going to try to sell this today. TGIS. You ready for it? Can you guess what TGIS is?
Thank God it's
sunny. When you got two kids, thank God it's sunny. Because yesterday,
you can get outside today.
Yesterday was a battle.
Yeah.
Battle. I mean, we just ran out of activities. I was doing scavenger hunts or playing Uno, go fish. I mean, you name it, we did it yesterday.
Any of the child's games are on the table, huh? Well, I got yelled at yesterday. Because Ben says to me, you think we can go outside? I said, no, it's supposed to be miserable all day, so we can't. So then at like 6 o'clock, all of a sudden there's a break and it gets much nicer out. And he goes, you lied to me. I said, what did I do? He says, you said it was going to be miserable all day and now it's sunny and it's turned nice out. I'm like, yeah, yes, that I've lied to you. That was my master plan all along. So yeah, we got outside for a couple of minutes at least yesterday.
Yeah, you'll take whatever time you get. I mean, I was almost, Ella at one point said, can we go splash around in the puddles? And I was at a point where I was like, I was considering it. Well, if that's what you want to do, we can go do it.
Yeah, it's come to that. Can we go splash around in the puddles? And you give it real thought. Like, yeah, you know what? Maybe that is not a horrible idea. All right, so Chris, you mentioned it. Mel Kiper's, what is it, mock draft 3.0? Is this
4.0?
4.0, right?
4.0.
Now, is this it, or do we get another one next week right before the draft?
I think we get another one from both him and McShay right before the draft next week.
Oh, this is very exciting. Yeah. All right, so why don't we run through it? And obviously, we got to get into the Christian McCaffrey signing, which I mean, just has dollar signs flashing in front of me when it comes to one Saquon Barkley. And you got to imagine that Barkley's going to want to get paid after next season. But
we also got to get into Don LaGreca being on Go Look and Wingo this morning.
The fact that he was on, or the fact of what he said?
No, what he said during the Golic and Wingo mock draft. I think it's conversation worthy.
I have not heard what he said.
So okay. We'll get into it.
We'll get into that in a couple of minutes as well. So here we go, Rick. Round one, pick one. No surprise to anybody. Cincinnati Bengals would take Joe Burrow. Second selection, maybe the most talented player in the draft to the Redskins is Chase Young out of the Ohio State University. Lions going Jeff Okudah. Now, he doesn't account for trades, correct? This is solely you have your selection and you make that pick, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, doesn't account for trades, but what also you got to remember, too, as you go through this draft, is this isn't necessarily how Mel Kiper has the players ranked.
This is where he thinks they're going to go.
Exactly right. Like, he thinks Tua is the second best quarterback in the draft, but as you continue on the list, you'll see why I'm telling you that.
Yeah. So he has Okudah going number 3 to the Lions, Isaiah Simmons number 4 to the Giants. And let's just read the blurb about one Isaiah Simmons, a linebacker out of Clemson. The Giants should take an offensive tackle with one of their first two picks, but I wouldn't pass on Simmons, who has rare athleticism and versatility. Stick him at outside linebacker and let him chase down ball carriers, rush the passer, and cover tight ends. Simmons never has to leave the field. New coach Joe Judge will love him. So you hear that, Chris, and we'll run through more of the first round in a moment. You still are on the side of offensive linemen, correct?
Yeah, I'm still on the side of offensive linemen just because I know what drafting Isaiah Simmons means for the defensive side of the ball. Clearly, he's a playmaker, and he gives new defensive coordinator Patrick Graham a lot of different options. But in terms of your overall philosophy and your base defensive scheme, you'd have to change the work that Dave Gettleman has done the last couple of years and the personnel that he's put on that side of the ball. So to me, if the Giants decide they're going to draft Isaiah Simmons, that means they're shifting from an odd front defense, from a 34 look, to a 4-3 defense, because that's the only way I see Simmons fitting on an every down basis.
Here's the other thing, though, too, I think you need to take into account, Dave, is what just happened with Christian McCaffrey. So you spent the second overall pick on Saquon Barkley.
Right.
And you can't, I mean, you can't argue how talented the kid is. But if you're going to pay him after next season, 16, maybe 17
million. Yeah, 17,
bucks a year,
17 is the starting point.
Okay, so 17 million bucks a year. I'm going to want $17 million worth of production. And that's why I'm taking, Isaiah Simmons is great. I'm taking a tackle with the fourth overall pick. I need to make sure my offensive line is solidified. Because if I'm paying $17 million for a running back, he better be giving me, I mean, what Christian McCaffrey is consistently given the Carolina Panthers.
Yep. Yeah. No, I tend to agree with that. And whatever tackle you have highest rated is the one I think you go with if you're the Giants. Now, Dolphins at 5, Justin Herbert, which is interesting because we've heard forever, and Mike Tannenbaum's going to join us right at the top of the 11 o'clock hour today. We've heard forever that the Dolphins love Tua, and we're 9 days out, and Mel Kiper Jr. right now, Rick, has the Dolphins going with one Justin Herbert, quarterback out of Oregon.
Yeah, and I mean, it wasn't just Mel. I mean, Laura Rutledge also mentioned that she's hearing that, you know, the Dolphins may be more with, they don't question how talented Tua is. They question the durability, and they feel like Justin Herbert is the safer pick. I just feel like, I mean, with the upside of Tua, you know, having watched Tua and gone through some of his stuff leading up to the draft, I think he has the higher ceiling. And if for some reason he falls in your lap at 5, especially, because people are saying his ceiling is the left-handed Drew Brees, and you saw how not passing Drew Brees on his physical turned out for Miami, I would be hard-pressed. I think if I'm the Dolphins, I would probably lean towards taking the risk and taking Tua with the fifth overall pick.
It's a hell of a risk. I guess I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, past performance being the best indicator for future performance, and the one thing that we've seen from Tua is that when he's healthy and available, he's a top-tier quarterback talent, but how often is that going to happen? When he's dealt with the amount of injuries that he had out in Alabama, I mean, it's a question mark as to whether his game will translate in him being able to protect himself at the next level when you're talking about defenders being bigger, faster, more explosive. I would be hesitant with Tua, especially if you're looking for stability and you're looking to find your next quarterback for, you know, a dozen years. I just feel like, with Justin Herbert, yeah, the upside might not necessarily be there, but the floor might be a little higher just from the health standpoint. So it just depends on your risk tolerance. And based on what the Miami Dolphins have been doing, the moves that Brian Flores and Chris Greer have been making, it seems like they're more risk adverse.
Yeah, I just feel like Tua has so much more juice than Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert's a good quarterback. I just feel like Tua's got more juice. I mean, I think as far as, you know, his leadership qualities, which was one of the reasons I think that a lot of people have questioned Justin Herbert, more of an introvert. I'll tell you what, I mean, when you start looking at the quarterbacks that have had success and some of the best quarterbacks in the NFL today, I mean, there were questions leading to the draft and Deshaun Watson. Could he stay healthy? I mean, he's coming off, you know, ACL at Clemson. I mean, let's not forget this too. I mean, you're what?
He actually stayed healthy an entire season and won a national championship. You actually saw that at Clemson. We never saw that with Tua healthy for an entire year, and that year concluding with him winning the national championship. He stepped in that national championship a couple of years ago against Georgia, but we never saw him for an entire season and postseason.
Yeah, but you never saw Carson Wentz stay healthy, I mean, since high school.
And Carson Wentz has had some injuries with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, but if you ask the Philadelphia Eagles, would they still draft Carson Wentz? They would 100% still draft Carson
Wentz. I'm not saying that they shouldn't still draft Carson Wentz, because, I mean, listen, they won a Super Bowl in the Carson Wentz era of Eagles football, but Carson Wentz wasn't the guy that was holding the Lombardi Trophy up for him. It ended up being Nick Foles. It just was that confluence of events where they had a capable backup after they had already locked up home field advantage throughout. I guess I'm just saying this. If you're an upstart program like the Miami Dolphins are, you're looking for something solid to build your foundation on. And right now, Tua comes with a whole lot of questions. So, yeah, Justin Herbert doesn't have the upside that Tua Tagovailoa has, but Justin Herbert is still a really talented college quarterback that has a huge amount of potential. Remember, Justin Herbert would have been a top 10 pick last year if he came out of the draft. So, I mean, it's not that Justin Herbert doesn't have talent, because we've seen that, whether it was at Oregon in the Rose Bowl, we saw it during the Senior Bowl, you saw it at the Combine. He's a really talented thrower of the football.
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you're saying. I don't think he has the same kind of you know, transformative generational talent that Tua has. Like Tua's potential definitely is higher than Justin Herbert's. I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying. If all of a sudden now you're sitting at five and Tua, because of what happened and we're dealing with the pandemic and everything else, is sitting there at five, I would be hard pressed not to take Tua. I mean, there are things you can't control. Yeah, you don't like the fact that he's had being between the two ankles and now the hip. I mean, his inability to protect himself, that would scare me too. But, I mean, there are things that happen in the National Football League. I mean, you always say it. I mean, there's 100% injury risk playing in the NFL. I mean, the greatest quarterback that we've seen recently is Patrick Mahomes. Won an MVP in his second year and just won the Super Bowl. He was a quarter of an inch away from, I mean, he had dislocated it. Let's not forget, he already was dealing with an ankle. He dislocated his kneecap. And luckily for him, I mean, he's what, a centimeter, quarter of an inch, whatever it is, away from completely destroying his knee? I mean, there are things that it's a physical game. I mean, I listen, you might be right. I'm just saying, if it's me and I'm Miami and I don't have to trade up to three to get him and Tua is sitting there at five, I would probably take the risk and draft Tua.
Well, you know, I think it will be a moot point because I don't think Tua will be there at five. I absolutely believe that there is a team that will trade into the top five in order to draft Tua Tagovailoa. And that's actually a part of my hot take that I'm supposed to be delivering tomorrow, but I'm going to go ahead and give a little teaser out there for it right now because we're talking about it.
Wow. Look at that. Teasing the hot take a day in advance. All right. So Herbert 5 to the Dolphins, Chargers 6. They probably run up to the podium or they scream to the Zoom and tell Roger Goodell they want Tua at 6. Derek Brown to the Panthers at 7. Tristan Wirfs be a good selection for the Cardinals at 8. That would be the top offensive lineman off the board, right? Would be 8 in Mel's mock? That's unbelievable. Jaguars would go Jerry Jeudy 9. Browns go Becton 10. And your Jets, Rick, and I think you would absolutely adore this pick, would go Jedrick Wills, offensive lineman, Alabama at 11.
Yeah, I would love the pick, too. And I mean, that kind of makes it an easier decision, I think, for Joe Douglas. I mean, if all of a sudden Jerry Jeudy's off the board at 9 and he's your number one rated wide receiver and Jedrick Wills is sitting there at 11, I mean, and you made a promise to Sam Darnold's parents that you'd protect him, I mean, yeah, you're taking Jedrick Wills with that 11th pick.
I mean, if you're the Jets, you feel really good about 4 defensive players going in the top 10 because that means that those offensive linemen are getting pushed down to you. And if the Jets
and
come
three quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. It means the offensive linemen are getting pushed down to you. We know that there are probably going to be 3 quarterbacks that go in the top 10. But if you're talking about 4 defensive players, that means that there's a good chance that you're going to have a chance to get one of those 4 top offensive tackle prospects. And to me, the best of the bunch seems to be Wills and Wirfs. And if you end up coming out of this draft with one of those guys, Joe Douglas and Sam Darnold have to feel pretty damn good about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you wind up with one of the elite offensive linemen in this draft and you're the Jets, you have to be ecstatic about it. Really. I mean, because then you've kind of changed the complexion of this team by adding the legitimate offensive lineman. Now, continuing along into the second round, and the phone lines are open, 800-919-3776.
Oh, by the way, quickly, Dave, though, I mean, this is, and I know you've scoured through the first round of this draft.
Yeah, yeah.
Couple things that if these picks are made, would scare me a bit if I was a Giants fan. How about the Philadelphia Eagles getting Henry Ruggs with the 21st pick?
Yeah, it'd be terrifying.
That's exactly what they need, too. A speed receiver? I mean, forget it. And how about this for the NFL? If the San Francisco 49ers end up with CeeDee Lamb with the 13th overall pick?
But they're going to wind up with Lamb or Judy. You got to figure, no?
That's scary.
At an absolute minimum for the Niners, they're going to wind up with Lamb, Judy, or Ruggs. At a worst-case scenario, they're going to add an elite wide receiver to that offense.
To go along with Deebo Samuel and George Kittle.
George Kittle. And a running game that was almost unstoppable in the postseason last year.
That's a good-looking team.
Yeah,
it is. Good-looking team.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right, go to the second round now. Terrific. Get me excited.
Patriots, they have taken Zach Bond from Wisconsin, the outside linebacker, which I've seen him taken in the second round, but Mel's got him going late towards the first. All right, so the 36th overall selection, which would be the Giants' second round pick, they would go Austin Jackson, offensive tackle from USC. Mel says, I wrote earlier the Giants needed to take an offensive tackle early, and Jackson could fall right into their lap at number 36. Played 1,680 straight snaps at left tackle for the Trojans over the last two seasons. Still a developmental project in my eyes. He'll take some time to adjust, but he could be New York's long-term starter at either tackle spot moving forward. So that would, if the Giants went Simmons and Jackson or Simmons and an offensive lineman of that ilk, Chris, would you feel awful about it, or would you be able to wrap your arms around something like that?
I think it'd be okay, Dave. The only thing with Jackson is I don't think he's a plug-and-play starter day one. I just don't see it. I mean, he struggled a little bit against A.J. Epenesa of Iowa in the Holiday Bowl. Epenesa had 2.5 sacks. So I look at Jackson and I say there's some growth that has to happen before he becomes a reliable NFL starter. Now, the Giants, as far as where they're at in their program building, they're just getting started. So taking an offensive tackle that he has huge upside, huge potential in the second round, I'm not going to kill him for it. But I would just prefer, based on what they did the last couple of years, the investment in Saquon Barkley, and then finding Daniel Jones with the 6th overall pick last year, you got to try to fortify that offensive line and get it to the point where it's solid sooner rather than later, because it's going to help you develop your younger players, most importantly, Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, listen, it's not my favorite, but I mean, if Isaiah Simmons turns into the player that, you know, everyone is projecting, and you have someone that can make that kind of impact on your defense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm of the same opinion as Chris. I mean, if you can get a proven commodity at 4 at tackle and, I mean, help protect your young quarterback and Saquon Barkley, I think you're so much closer on the offensive side of the ball to having, I mean, I'm not going to say, you know, a great offense, but I mean, you're going to have a pretty good offense if you solidify that offensive line.
And I guess Gettleman had a conference call yesterday and really hammered home the offensive line point. And I guess a lot of beat reporters, I didn't hear the conference call, but I was reading the transcripts from it, seeing what the beat reporters were saying. They really seem to believe that the Giants are going to go with a center very early on in this draft. So if not second round, maybe with the third round pick that they actually do have. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you saw an offensive tackle and a center by the time we get through day two for the Giants, Chris.
I would love it, Dave. I mean, and there are some really good interior offensive linemen in this draft. I know you brought up the kid from Michigan. Was it Cesar Ruiz?
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to be there.
He won't be there, but I mean, Lloyd Cushenberry is a guy that was a starter for the LSU Tigers on that national championship team, can play guard or center, played really well down at the Senior Bowl. He's a guy that has good movement skills, but he's also really good at the point of attack in the run game. So maybe that's somebody that the Giants could be interested in. But, I mean, they've got to continue to try to build that offensive line because they've got to protect their investment in Daniel Jones. I mean, the Giants drafting Daniel Jones and hitting on that pick is like somebody buying a multi-million dollar house. Now it's up to the owners to get the homeowner's insurance. And to me, that's what solidifying the offensive line is. It's buying the insurance for, you know, the quarterback, the guy that's supposed to be the most important figure in your franchise. Right now, it should all be about trying to support Daniel Jones' development. And investing in your offensive line is going to go a long way to doing that.
Now, Rick, did you scroll down to 48 for your beloved New York Jets?
Yeah, I'm sitting here staring at it, Dave, and I love every second of it.
I mean, if you wind up,
I love this pick.
If you wind up with Wills and then Chase Claypool, the big, and he's a big kid, wide receiver out of Notre Dame, You would be having a party, I think. As much of a party as someone could have in this day and age.
I mean, you're talking about a kid who's 6'4", 240 pounds.
Yep.
That runs a 4.4 and jumps, 40 and a half inches. I mean, you talk about catch radius for Sam Darnold. I mean, yeah, if you get, you get Wills in the first round and then you turn around and get Chase Claypool in the second round, I mean, just further proof that Joe Douglas knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, that would be a tremendous first day plus if you're the New York Jets. And then you have the Giants' third round pick, which is like an extended second round pick. So it's
exactly
just all the way
right
for the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I mean, the way that first of all he's handled free agency, sticking to his guns. I mean, no real splash signings, but I mean, he clearly, you know, had an idea of what he was trying to accomplish, solidifying the offensive line. He had, you know, a certain amount of money that he was going to spend for each player, and he stuck to his plan. And I love what he's done so far. And if you're a Jets fan and you look at this mock draft and you're not excited, you're crazy.
I think the best thing that Joe Douglas has done is maintain flexibility financially for future years. Like, he's not committing a lot of guaranteed dollars into 2021 and beyond. And I think that's the most important thing, because when you have flexibility, that means you can maximize your ability to take advantage of opportunities that come across your desk. And when you're at the point where the Jets are at, I don't think it's necessarily about going all in for 2020, but it's about, again, trying to build a solid foundation for your future and investing in the offensive line, getting Fant, getting Connor McGovern. I think it's a great place to start, but you got to start getting some impact players to put around Sam Darnold.
All right, let's get to the calls. 800-919-3776. You know where Mel has the Giants and the Jets going for the first two rounds, and let's go to the phone calls. Omar in East Brunswick. Omar, you're first up on a Tuesday, I'm told, on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? I've been thinking about you guys every single day. I listen all the time. I just haven't been able to call in because of school. But, yeah, I love you guys a lot. I hope you guys stay really safe, you and your families.
Well, thank you, Omar, and same to you and yours.
So, I think the past couple of drafts, a lot of teams have gotten quarterback hungry. So I really think one of the top three tackles are going to fall to us, and we should definitely draft them. I don't understand the logic of drafting a receiver, because you see the Browns, like, all you have to do is look at the Browns. Track star, but no good offensive line. And we need to protect Sam. That's, like, number one priority. I definitely agree with the Chase Claypool or, like, a Michael Pittman falling in the second round. And maybe in, like, the fifth round or fourth round, target, if you guys know him, Antonio Kennedy Golden. He's from Liberty. He's really good. And also, I want to know your guys' take on what Joe Klatt said about Sam Darnold.
I don't know what Joe Klatt said about Sam Darnold.
I don't want to say the wrong thing, but I know he said he was a better, like, I think it was either draft prospect or better player.
That was McShay.
That was McShay.
That was McShay. We played that clip. I think we played that clip yesterday from Greeny.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Greeny got a message from McShay. Yeah.
I thought that was really interesting, but like, he's true. He's really right, though. I mean, like, he hasn't had the right protection in his, so far. Rick, I remember when we first talked about having Sam, about how the worst nightmare for us was our own team doing damage to him. And you're so right. Hopefully with Joe Douglas, things are changing already. He looks like he knows what to do. It looks like he knows what to do so far. But I'm really hoping it. The Jets have a good year. And also, no matter what, man, whenever I go to next season, I just can't get over the fact that our head coach is not liked. Like, he's just not liked, guys. You see, in Miami, nobody went to go play for him. And it's the same thing over here. And everybody's talking about giving him extra years and all that. I agree, in a sense. But he has not shown absolutely anything. Every game this year.
Omar, listen, and thanks for the call. We completely agree with you. And I haven't heard anybody talk about giving him extra years. And in fact, I've heard just the opposite, Chris, that this season is really big for Adam Gase, that if he doesn't win games and potentially get the Jets to the postseason, this is probably the last year for one Adam Gase.
Well, I mean, when he took the job, he said the Jets are going to control their playoff fate when they come to December. Now, it turned out that they only needed to wait to the end of October before their fate was sealed. But they did have a strong second half to 2019. Now it's about being able to build on that in 2020. And with the playoffs field expanding to seven teams, I think a lot of people would absolutely expect that Adam Gase would have this team in playoff contention. And I'm not saying that they got to get in, but they can't afford to have another losing season. I don't think you can afford to be done halfway through the year. I don't think Adam Gase can have a losing season. If Adam Gase has a losing season, I think he's on his way out.
Yeah, and I think bottom line for Sam Darnold, and I don't think, I guess I appreciate what Todd McShay texted to Greeny. Kind of makes me a little bit sad that he feels like he's got this much talent. I mean, you're going into year three. The kid needs some stability. Like, the revolving door of GMs and head coaches, enough is enough. I think Joe Douglas is good at what he does. And as much as I don't like Adam Gase, and I don't think the players really like Adam Gase, in all actuality, it's probably in Sam's best interest just to have the continuity that they find a way to make it work. And the Jets go out and win some football games this season.
I think that is in his best interest, but we don't know if Adam Gase is a good coach. Like, there's still a question mark as to whether or not Adam Gase is a good coach. And if the guy can't coach, then I'm not going to stay with him for stability's sake. I got to find somebody that can actually get the team to the point where we're consistently competing.
I understand what you're saying. But if all of a sudden, I mean, you can say he's not a great coach, and I would agree with you. But for some reason, Sam Darnold thinks he's a good coach, and for whatever it is, they make it work, and he gets the best out of Sam Darnold. Then that's the best case scenario.
Let's continue along. Let's go to Ira in Staten Island. Ira, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, fellas. You know what? Listen, I'm leaving it up to Douglas. We've discussed it all winter. Receiver, offensive line, receiver, 1-2, whichever way he's going to go, I'm good with. The bottom line here is, you got four picks in the top 80 or 79. You got to come away with three starters. And listen, if he takes an offensive lineman in the first round, which I believe he probably should, as long as the grades are close, because you do have to protect Sam, they got to nail it with the receiver position. Nobody's talked about it. Do you realize, Jeremy Curley was a nice player, but that was 2011. The last time the Jets drafted a receiver that actually had any impact whatsoever, okay, Anunua was okay, but he could stay on the field, was Jericho Cotchery in the fourth round in 2004. That's 16 years they've gone without drafting an impact receiver. I think, I trust Douglas with the offensive linemen. They got to get a receiver that's going to be able to step in and make an impact right away.
You're forgetting about Stephen Hill, I think.
Oh, please.
Bad guy.
I haven't had my banana yet this morning. Stephen Hill, oh, my goodness. You can't. How about Devin Smith?
Another good one.
Ohio State. Another one. It's like bust after Chad Hansen, Darius Stewart. You could go on and on and on with the list. But I got to see them come away with a big-time receiver, whether it's first, second, or third round this year. They have to do it.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Ira. And the more I think about the Jets, I think you have to go offensive line and then wide receiver. I do. Because you're going to get a legitimate wide receiver in the second round. I'm looking at Mel's draft and, Claypool was there. And it's littered with wide receivers. And we've heard that this is the deepest draft. KJ Hamler is going at 50 here. And, there's so much talent at the receiving core, Rick. It just seems so obvious to me that you go offensive line in round one, and then you go wide receiver in round two.
Yeah, with the depth at that position. And by the way, Stephen Hill. To say Stephen Hill had hands like feet would be disrespectful of feet.
and nobody wants to disrespect the foot.
Yeah, you don't want to disrespect the foot. No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think as far as the tackle position is concerned, you look at probably four guys, and then there's a bit of a drop off as opposed to the wide receiver position where, Eric DaCosta in Baltimore said they could get a wide receiver in the fifth round that could step in and make an immediate impact.
Right. So if you can get a guy in the fifth round that can step in and get an immediate impact, what could you do in the second round? Right? You could get a legitimate wide receiver.
Hey, you get a couple if you want a couple.
I think you need a couple.
I don't disagree with you. Number one priority, and I think you've seen this with Joe Douglas, is protect his young quarterback. Solidify that offensive line, and then build around that. Start to find pieces. Start to find weapons. Because Omar made actually pretty good a good point. It was as far as offensive talent is concerned, was there a better team than the Cleveland Browns last year offensively? Just talent?
No.
Okay, and Baker Mayfield had a bad season because his offensive line wasn't good.
It was garbage.
Exactly right.
Yeah, no, it was. All right, everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. What are they? You'd like to know. I have a list of them right in front of me. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, and your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. You can listen anywhere. I mean, anywhere you go. Here's what you do. You click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker. Smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. 800-919-3776. So Don LaGreca, they did a little mock draft because we're 9 days out from the draft, was on Golic and Wingo this morning. And who did he take for the Giants at 4? Here's Donnie.
Golic and Wingo mock draft. The New York Giants with the 4th selection. Pick up Clemson linebacker Isaiah Simmons.
That's right. Isaiah Simmons, he takes overall number 4. It felt like Ricky was doing his best Mel Kiper impersonation there, by the way.
Yeah, I don't love it. I mean, that's chalk. I thought Donnie was going to get a little creative for us.
Well, how creative? What, you can't trade. So it's either you take Simmons or you take the offensive lineman. So I don't think he's done badly there. People love Isaiah Simmons.
No, I don't think he's done. Listen, I think it's a good pick, but I mean, it's the same pick as Mel has. I mean, I think it's just better for the conversation if he takes the tackle and then let Mel go and explain to him why he disagrees.
Yeah, but you don't want to get into a game like that with Mel, do you? To go in another direction and then have him tell you why you're wrong? If you take what he says, then you're in lockstep.
I don't think he can tell you.
Mel just, you know, waxes poetic on your selection.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though. I don't think he can. I mean, he can explain why he loves Isaiah Simmons. I can't find a reason why he could tell Don LaGreca that he'd be wrong taking an offensive tackle with the 4th overall pick.
I don't think you would be. I don't think you would be. And I don't think Isaiah Simmons is wrong. And I don't think the offensive lineman is wrong.
I think comparing Isaiah Simmons to Derwin James and Minkah Fitzpatrick is wrong because he's not those guys. He's a much bigger guy than those two players. Those guys play safety. Isaiah Simmons is not going to be an every down safety in the NFL. He's going to have to play linebacker. And that calls into question what scheme he's going to be in, whether you're going to play him at middle linebacker or outside linebacker. That is the question that nobody can give me a straight answer to. What is Isaiah Simmons in your base defense? Now, I know that NFL teams, defenses spend most time in sub packages, nickel and dime. But if he's going to be drafted that high, that means he's going to be on the field for every single snap, which means he also has to play base defense. And nobody can tell me what Isaiah Simmons is in base defense. I think he could be Brian Urlacher in a 4-down front playing a middle linebacker. I think he could be Derek Brooks in a 4-down front playing outside linebacker. I think he could be those guys, but that means that the Giants would have to shift from what they've been building on defense the last couple of years. Are they going to do that? That's the million-dollar question.
I mean, do the Giants take the linebacker from Clemson, or do they take the offensive lineman? I think you're right with a lot of what you say is what kind of system is he going to fit into? And I don't think we have the answer to that. And I guess the question is, Rick, do you trust Joe Judge if they take him to put him in the right situation to be successful right away?
I think you would have to. I mean, what other choice do you have? I mean, you trust the new. I mean, you'd have to. I mean, you got a whole new coaching staff. I know it's Joe Judge's first year, but I mean, you got, you know, Patrick Graham as the defensive coordinator, and I mean, this kid is a stud. You can't argue that. I think Chris's bigger concern is, I mean, putting the kid in the best situation to reach his ceiling, to have the kind of success that you'd need from someone you're drafting with the 4th overall pick. My only point was this. It's a good pick. I mean, he could be, I mean, end up being one of the best players in this year's draft. But, I mean, I just think with where the Giants are at, especially on the defensive side of the ball and the lack of talent, the lack of playmakers and everything else, and where you're at on the offensive side of the ball and, you know, Dave Gettleman's whole philosophy on hog mollies and everything else is, you're not drafting a defensive lineman because, I mean, you'd have there'd be a mutiny from Giants fans. I mean, the hog molly that you would want is the best. I mean, seriously. How many, you don't want to be drafting. I mean, what's crazy is the amount of times that Dave Gettleman, I mean, over the last couple of years has been drafted in the top 10, which is not
embarrassing.
Which is not a good thing.
Every time.
Yeah, but I mean, going back to Carolina. But even going back to Carolina, I mean, he drafted Christian McCaffrey. But I mean, you draft him with the 8th overall pick. You don't want to be in the top 10 this consistently. You have the opportunity now. Chase Young is the best defensive player in the draft, correct?
Yes. Correct.
Yes.
And then you can make the argument that it's Jeff Okuda, especially because he's a lockdown corner. And then you got Isaiah Simmons. So you got the third best defensive player in the draft, or you can have the best offensive tackle in the draft with the 4th overall pick. I'll take that.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not. I don't think there's anything wrong with taking an offensive lineman. I mean, then you solidify your offensive line. If you take the center later, you really solidify your offensive line. All right, let's take a listen. Here is Donnie on Golic and Wingo this morning explaining the rationale behind taking one Isaiah Simmons overall at number 4.
Yeah, I understand that, especially when they went out and got Blake Martinez in free agency to help the linebacking situation, and Ryan Connolly coming back from injury, who was a draft pick the year before. So he may think he's stacked at linebacker, but I just look at this guy, 6'4". You look at Darren Lee, the Jets picked him up, a safety slash linebacker a couple of years ago. He was 6'1". This kid's 6'4". Drop into coverage, and you just heard Mel say, wreak havoc, get to the quarterback. Something the Giant linebacker has not done in forever. They have not selected a linebacker in the first round since Carl Banks in 1984. They've got to find somebody impact on defense. They can't get Young to get to the quarterback. Maybe they could do it from the linebacker position. But you're right. He may fall in love with an offensive lineman, but I just think they need that impact player on D, and this seems to be the kid that can do it.
Do you not find a real future for Don in draft analysis if the whole talk show thing doesn't work out?
I think he was terrific. I mean, especially now because, I mean, after seeing what Jordan Renan did to his head, I mean, I can't imagine that he's going to be signing up for any TV on draft night.
Yeah, what he shaved his hair off and he looks ill now, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's DIY gone wrong. I mean, he was wearing a hood last time I saw him. So, I mean, if they're looking for someone to, and Don's already got the camera set up, you know, go live and talk about the Giants pick, I think Don's the guy. Has to be.
Yeah. I think he could be, Chris. I think Don might have a future.
Oh, Don's really good, man. I mean, who doesn't love Don Juan LaGreca breaking down football? I mean, I love it.
Love it. Yeah. Love it.
And I agree with what he's saying about Isaiah Simmons. The Giants do need more impact players on that side of the ball. I just don't look at Simmons as that guy that's going to be that pass rusher that's going to give you double-digit sacks. That's not who he is. He's a guy that can do it all. But I don't necessarily see anything that's elite outside of his coverage skills. I don't see that. So to me, and when you start talking about what the Giants should do, if you're talking about trying to find an off-the-ball linebacker versus finding an offensive tackle, which one of those is harder to get in the NFL? It's offensive tackle. So when you have this type of draft capital, it makes sense to try to go after a position that's hard to find in today's game.
Yeah, I think here's the other thing, too. And, Chris, you always say this. I mean, the easiest way to the playoffs is winning your division. I mean, outside of Zach Ertz, Dallas, the Redskins, and the Eagles, I mean, is there an elite tight end that you're going to have to worry? I mean, outside of Zach Ertz, is there?
I don't see it.
Okay, but, I mean, are there some elite defensive lines?
Yes.
Okay, so, I mean, again, I mean, you're talking about if Chase Young goes to the Redskins, all of a sudden, I mean, that front seven is ridiculous. I mean,
it might be the second best front seven in the conference. It might be. If Chase Young goes to the Washington Redskins.
In the conference. So you have San Francisco number one, and then you'd have them number 2?
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, so that's what you're dealing with. I mean, Philadelphia's defensive line is great. And then, for Dallas too, they're rolling the dice a little bit. But if Randy Gregory comes back, and all of a sudden you got Alden Smith to go along with Lawrence, I mean, forget it.
You can't go wrong with a left tackle. You can't.
Listen, I give Daniel Jones tons of credit, right? He took a beating last year, and no one was talking. Like, he took a beating. Like, some of his best throws, he was getting hit in the face as he was making the throw.
Yeah. I mean, he was abused last year. He's a tough kid. He really is. A lot of things about Daniel Jones very reminiscent of Eli Manning. All right, so you heard Don make the selection. You heard Don analyze the selection. Now let's hear Mel analyze how Donnie did overall at number four for the Giants.
It's a great question because Dave Gettleman could take Tristan Wirfs. He could take Mekhi Becton. That left tackle spot was a disaster with Solder. You saw Daniel Jones a couple times. He'd drop the snap because he was looking up, and as soon as he picked the ball up, he was getting nailed. You know, the ball goes flying. So, again, he didn't have time to pick up a snap that fumbled. It was like no time, and you could see them. They think they have a franchise quarterback, and Daniel Jones showed he could be last year, that kind of guy. I thought he played really well as a rookie. And I think you look at the fourth pick. Could they reach a little bit? Because if you're picking four, you got to get, I think, the third best player on your board. You don't want to get the sixth, seventh, eighth. Now, you can if it's a quarterback because that's so important. You might reach a bit and stretch it a bit. But if they did, they could take Tristan Wirfs or Becton or Will. So they could go that route. I have heard, now this is where you talk to so many people and it's kind of confusing and you wonder, you know, how am I going to make this mock work? Because everybody's got different opinions. But to your point, I have heard one person in the league said to me, and I brought this up about a month ago, might have brought it up with Trey at the Combine. They said, remember we said that one guy said he's too versatile for his own good. And he said, well, how can that be? Because they can't really define where are we going to use them? How are we going to use them? You can only do one. You're getting after a quarterback and covering people at the same time. So I think that too versatile for his own good I did here. But at the end of the day, he's perfect for today's NFL.
That's funny. Could you imagine? He's does too many things well. He's too versatile. I never heard that before.
Yeah, I never heard that before either, Dave. Usually in the NFL, they say the more you can do, the more valuable you are.
Right. He does so many things well. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, I just think that he has to get with the right defensive coordinator in the right scheme in order to take full advantage of what he brings to the table. And it's going to be very specific in terms of what they're going to ask him to do. And so it's interesting. It's a tough evaluation just because you don't know how he's going to fit in base defenses in the NFL, but there's no denying the talent. I don't think anybody would say that we didn't think that Isaiah Simmons is going to be a really good football player in the NFL. I just think that based on where the Giants are at right now, it makes more sense for them to prioritize protecting the quarterback who got sacked 38 times last year and lost 10 fumbles. So I just look at it, a quarterback going into year two, the biggest thing for Daniel Jones is to cut down on the turnovers. You can't have your quarterback turning the ball over 20 times. Solidifying the offensive line helps Daniel Jones with that problem of turning the football over. That's why I think it's a no-brainer.
All right. Today on ESPN Daily, Ukrainian table tennis, League of Legends, Madden computer simulations. These were not the options you're expecting to see on your gambling apps come springtime. But since all major sports were shut down in mid-March, sportsbooks in the U.S. and offshore are seeing a wide array of unconventional betting line serve their starved clientele. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Let's go to Dave in Edison. Dave, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how you doing, guys? It kind of like stole my thunder with Claypool from going to the Jets. So like, I just pivot and I want to talk about the Cowboys draft for a second.
Go ahead.
Do you think they could trade up and get Ruiz from Michigan? Because I think they need a center to replace Travis Frederick.
I don't think they're going to have to trade up to get him. I think if they were going after Ruiz with their first-round pick, they would be more likely to trade down.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yep.
And then the other one I like is the kid, Gabriel Davis from Central Florida. I think he's going to be a big steal in the draft, too. Wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he improved each 3 years, and he caught like 12 touchdowns last year. So I think he's a sleeper to keep an eye on.
Yeah, you're probably talking about a day three guy, though.
Really? You think he's that bad far down?
No, I don't think he's a bad player. I mean, listen, if you get drafted, you're a pretty damn good player. But I just think with all the guys at that position, it's probably going to get pushed to day three.
I'll tell you what. Thanks for the call, Dave. They better figure out a way to help the secondary, Chris.
They have to, Dave. They have to. They have to improve. Both local teams have to improve the secondaries. They have to get better. The Cowboys got to improve their secondary because they lost Byron Jones. So, I mean, you look at the NFC East and you look at, you know, the AFC East, you're going to have some prolific offenses. You're going to have good secondaries that can hold up. So, I mean, to me, that's one of those things that you have to put a premium on, having guys on the back end that can cover.
All right, let's bring him in. We adore him. He has a question for each of us. He does it so well, and that is, of course, Andy from Merrick. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Dave. How are you guys doing today?
We're hanging in there, my friend. Hanging in there.
All right. Well, I have three NFL draft questions for each of you.
Is it fair to say you're going to go draft heavy through at least next week?
I would say that's a very fair response.
Okay.
Starting with the big man, Chris, you were completely on point yesterday with your Virginia quarterbacks.
My man.
So, today we go running backs. In the last 30 years, there have been three premium picks out of the University of Virginia. A first rounder, a second rounder, and a third rounder. Please name them.
Are you talking about the running back spot?
Running back mm-hmm. spot out of Virginia. A first rounder, second rounder, third rounder.
Okay. First rounder is Thomas Jones.
Yes.
Right.
Second round pick as a running back.
Shouldn't have to look too far, I think. Right, Andy?
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Second round pick as a running back. Second round pick and third round pick. Let me take a stab at the third round pick. Do we have Wally Lundy?
No. No, Wally Lundy was drafted, but not in the top three rounds.
Not in the top three rounds.
Chris, if you don't get the second round pick, I think there's a good chance you can't sleep tonight.
If I don't get the second round pick?
Yeah, I think it would. I believe it would haunt you. Andy, am I correct with that
you
assessment?
You are right on point, yeah. Dave.
Is it that egregious?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Huh.
By the way, Wally Lundy was a sixth round pick of the
Texans. Was a sixth round pick. Okay. Yeah. Second round pick.
Where did the triple Lundy go in that draft?
Huh. Yeah, this is probably a good chance that I'm not going to sleep well because I can't get this one.
Oh, this is.
Dave, you want to save him?
I feel like. I mean, yes, he was part of a twin contingent in the NFL.
Had a fumbling problem early in his career.
Yes. Like, Chris, at this point with the pandemic, you could probably use a visit to this guy to just tighten you up.
You're talking about Tiki Barber?
There you go.
Second round pick. And Dave, you went to the third.
But that was, you got to go back to the 90s for that, though, right?
I said in the last 30 years.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking of
the 2000s. All right.
The only one I can think of potentially with the third round pick would be Cedric Pierman.
Now, Pierman, I believe, was a sixth round pick. Alvin Pierman was a fourth round pick. You'd be looking at Terry Kirby.
Terry Kirby. Oh, all right.
Third rounder by the Dolphins.
Okay, but nice. You're going back a ways on me, Andy.
I said 30 years.
You said recent.
No, I said 30 years, my man.
30 years. Okay, all right.
All right,
okay.
I'm going to talk to Rick now.
All right.
Rick, your New York Jets have not drafted very well in the running back department.
In their
history, there have been five running backs drafted who have amassed over 5,000 career yards. Can you name three of the five?
Three of the five that have amassed 5,000
or five career rushing yards, not necessarily all with the Jets.
Ooh.
No, not necessarily.
They are Jet draft picks.
No, now you're getting silly. I don't like when this happens, when all of a sudden we get three right, and then, then you really amp us up here. And this is the history of the Jets draft?
Correct.
Yeah, I'm not going to get this right. I'm going to save you the time. I'm not going to get it right. Tell me who it is.
All right. We have John Riggins, a first-round pick in 71.
Okay.
Freeman McNeil, a first-round pick in 81. Bill Brown, 1974 sixth-rounder. The great Adrian Morrell, fifth-rounder in 2003. And
Delicious
Emerson
mushroom.
Boozer had 5,135 yards in 1966.
Yeah, I hate the question. I'm going to be honest. I hate it. That, for me, has been your worst question.
Okay. Well, if you didn't like that one, boy, Dave, you're not going to like this one.
I don't like it already.
All right.
He's trying to embarrass
before
us
I
now. You see what he's doing.
Dave.
Yeah, the goal for you is to embarrass us here, Andy.
No. You guys have gotten almost every question right for the last 3 weeks.
What's on a cookie?
I have a quick question for you before I send out your trivia, and that is, there's rumors that Stump Rothenberg is returning on Saturday.
That would be correct. My show will be back on Saturday morning, 9 to noon, right here on 98.7.
That and what time would that Stump Rothenberg segment be on?
10:30, right on the nose, 10:30.
All right. So in light of your triumphant return,
mm-hmm.
you get a Giants draft question, okay. a high, hard one at that.
Oh, great. Is this going to be a multiple part?
No. One answer.
Oh, I like that.
All right. As a third-round pick of the Giants, Ed McCaffrey, yes, Christian's father, totaled 55 career receiving touchdowns. He did it with the Giants and Broncos for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But he only ranks number two on my list. What Giant draft pick has the most career receiving TDs? And I'll give you a hint. Most of them were not with the Giants.
So the Giants drafted him, most receiving touchdowns ever by someone they drafted.
Correct. Much more than the 55 that Ed McCaffrey picked up.
Is this very old?
It is.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm going to get this. I'm thinking Homer Jones, but it's not going to be Homer Jones.
Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Not Del Schaffner. Yeah, I don't think I know the answer to Tucker Fredrickson.
Nope. The answer is Don Maynard, who was a 1957 draft pick of the Giants. Played 1 year with him in 58 before spending most of his Hall of Fame career with the Jets.
Wow. All right. Well, I mean, savage questions, Andy.
Savage.
Certainly appreciate it, as always.
Stay healthy, guys.
All right. That, of course, is one Andy from Merrick. We move on from Andy and his brutal questions today. I mean, that was barbaric.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.